Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
Rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, it is Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay. Joe is producing again today.
Who is that guy over there?
That guy, he's been doing some Facebook stuff for us, so that's why he's here. And he also is doing a great job at keeping up with stats, so all of those moments in the show where we don't know what the hell we're talking about, he's really good at making it sound like we know what we're talking about.
If he's
at that point,
fact checker on this show, he's not making enough money.
So I'm going to apologize. I mean, I wish there was something to talk about this week, but it's been
slow. It's been
such a slow week in MMA. So I figured we could go through. Yes, I figured we could go through perhaps our favorite way to set up Kimuras for the next hour or so.
I am not going to lie.
Yes, for sure.
This week has been so insane that I have no idea if Rampage won that Bellator fight or not.
Okay, well, we can start there, although that certainly is not top story.
I'm just saying, that's what usually I would have tried to look it up at
but
some point.
He did win that fight, yes.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Now we can move along. Can I go home now?
You can go home.
All right, see you guys.
And because Sean is here and it's an entire week of perhaps the craziest thing that has ever happened in the history of the UFC, we start with this week in George St. Pierre.
This week in George St. Pierre.
I'm not impressed by your performance.
Hey, I'm afraid of you, man. Are you crazy in the head now?
Let me tell you something, uneducated fool.
This week in George St. Pierre.
So I figure the best place to start is with the fight.
Okay.
Because that seems like the most logical place where we should begin our conversation. So we start with, if not one of the, perhaps the most controversial decision in the history of the organization.
Especially with what was on the line. I mean, if you want to go find some crazy fights and things that were kind of insane that happened lower on the card, then maybe something happened, but I don't remember a fight at this level with this much on the line. Maybe we go back to the Gil Melendez fight last year.
Benson?
Yeah.
Yes, sure.
I think this was 10 times worse. 10 times worse now, as far as the decision goes.
Now, how many times have you watched the fight?
I've not watched it twice.
Okay, and Sean, you've watched it, 37 times?
38, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I watched it the first time, and in the moment, in the heat of the moment, I certainly thought that Hendricks won that decision.
Sure.
I was proven wrong because George still has the belt.
Very animated about it, so
right. So then I went back and I watched it
again.
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah, you have the fight metrics. You've got everything in front of you, pounding you in the head. And I thought that Hendricks won that fight. Fast forward to Sunday morning. You don't need to look at that. I was just getting it out of my way. Sorry, I couldn't see it. Fast forward. Yeah, right. Fast forward to Sunday morning, afternoon. I watch the fight again. But this time, I go to the Sean Desay School of how to watch a fight. Yes. And what I did is I shut off the sound. And I literally put a blanket over the bottom of the screen so I saw no chyrons. I just saw two gentlemen fighting on screen. And I had it, and feel free, the email you can send it to our Facebook page at Wow Show or at Twitter, what I'm about to read to you. I had the first round, and I holistically believe this isn't used enough. Those rounds, in my opinion, that quote-unquote could go either way, those to me should be 10-10. So I gave a 10-10 in round one, which changes the entire dynamic of the fight and gives two rounds to each guy and gives it a draw, which I'm not sure at this point on Friday, Saturday, depending on when you're listening to the show, if it could be any more explosive than it was, but a draw might have caused a riot.
I don't think so.
Really?
What do you think? What do you think, Sean, in that fight where you've got the first round as a draw, and then I assume two is Hendricks?
Yeah, I actually had two GSP.
Oh, okay.
Three Hendricks.
Four GSP?
Four Hendricks, five GSP.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a hands down. I was on the fence on round two. Now, round one, you gave it a 10-10, and I'll explain why round one later. But round two, why did you give it to GSP? I'm just curious.
Well, I think I've been around people like you and certainly the sport long enough. When you get to, you get the advantage of seeing it again in a different light, you can pick up the strategy. And so what I picked up, and that he did it in the first round and any round that wasn't four, George, his plan was to win the first 30 seconds and the last 30 seconds. Okay, and you would not disagree with that, right?
No, not at all.
Okay, and so in round two, he did that effectively, and I thought the middle parts of the fight was kind of an even exchange.
That round.
In that round was kind of an even exchange, but him winning that whole minute, the first 30 and the last 30, is why I gave him the
10-9. See, I agree with you there. The only reason why I maybe give it to Johnny, which I didn't, but is because that was the round that Johnny
rocked and wobbled GSP.
And I want to take that as a nice transition into the fact that I talked to Eric about this earlier in the week. Damage is not at all in the unified rules as far as judging criteria. Am I correct?
It is not.
It is not.
But if a guy does damage in a round and you're looking at a round that's essentially even, don't you take that into account? That's why I give round one to Johnny Hendricks. I think, and if we look at the actual judges who judge this fight and we take their scorecards, that first round going to GSP on two of those cards is what gave him the fight.
The reason why I disagree with you on the round one part is because the damage was done, but in round one, it was done, but it was very, very little damage. It wasn't a lot. Hold on. But if you compare to everything that what GSP was doing, now everyone says, oh, well, the takedowns, they nullify each other out. Yeah and no. Yes, they both had takedowns, but GSP actually was going for a sub that was more threatening. And when Johnny got his takedown later on in the first round, nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
I mean, GSP just got right up.
I agree with you there, but I think what was happening, and I don't know how you do this when you do the cover your eyes with pillows to rewatch the fight or whatever you guys were talking about.
It's not quite that crazy.
I know, but how do you really gauge how hard these shots are landing? Are you just looking at the fighters? Because what I felt like throughout the entire fight is that these punches that George St. Pierre was landing in the entire fight were soft punches. And again, he would kill me. I'd be dead if he hit me once. But he's hitting Johnny Hendricks. He's hitting the number one contender. He's hitting a guy who basically was just laughing off all the punches. He didn't land a single time in that fight where I thought that Johnny Hendricks was even hurt. So you've got those punches, which I'm giving you.
Yeah,
if you want to look in the first round and you want to start pulling out all the stats and you want to start looking at fight metrics and doing all those things, you can make an argument for the champion, maybe. And I think he got more of a championship advantage in the fact that, well, he's the champ. They score the rounds by round. So, okay, George St. Pierre, yeah, he kind of eked that one out.
True, but, I mean, like, when you look at just round one alone.
But when Johnny hits him, you know he hits him.
Yeah, true. And that's how I score damage. It's not about what the face looks like. It's about what happened, the body's aftermath.
Sure.
When you get hit, what happens? Do you wobble? Do you not wobble? Some people's face can't take punches. GSP, he's a very good example. Another guy who can take punches to the face very well and not show anything is Anderson Silva.
Yep.
You can punch him in the face. It looks like he didn't get hit. Johnny's face is the same way. So I don't go like, oh, look at his face. He got beat up. No, dude. I mean, come on. It is what it is.
I'm not doing that either, though.
No,
but
no,
I'm saying when Johnny hits him, you know the guy got punched.
Right. But in round one, there was no significant – I mean, there was significant strikes, but there was nothing there that, like, hurt him or wobbled him. Round two it did, but not in round one.
I agree. Nothing wobbled GSP in that first round, but you would watch the round.
And if you do watch the round, there's – GSP's landing head kicks, he's doing push kicks, he's doing more striking. So I have to look at that and go, okay, he was the busier fighter. That's how I had to do round one.
He was busier, but I'm looking at even though they end up being 10-10 on Eric's round, if they're 10-10, I'm still looking at that and I'm going, I feel like George St. Pierre knows he's in a fight after that first round.
Oh, 100%.
I don't know if Johnny Hendricks necessarily felt like he was in a fight after that first round, and maybe that's my tiebreaker, so to speak. And I go, you know, man, Johnny Hendricks really hit him hard a couple times. They're both separating. George St. Pierre knows he's in a fight. Johnny Hendricks is smiling on the other side. And I get that fighters sometimes
are putting a face on.
But by the fourth round, you knew he wasn't putting a face on. He was relaxed.
No.
He was doing what he was doing. And he had, more so than George St. Pierre in any round of the fight, maybe except for five, octagon control, which is a measurable part of judging.
No,
the fight.
Look, round three, I gave it to George. Okay, so back to round two, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so going into round two,
go ahead. Overall, so round two, you gave.
I still gave it to GSP.
Okay.
Even though he got wobbled.
Who did you give round one to?
GSP.
Okay, so GSP's got 2-0 at this
point. Right. And the reason why.
You're insane at this point.
Reason why I gave round two to GSP. And there's a very good argument. I could have given it to Johnny, but I gave it to GSP because Yeah, he got wobbled, but he finished very strong at the end of that round. And sometimes, you know, when you're judging, it's not what happens in the beginning of that round. If you're judging round by round, it's how the guy finishes the rounds. You know, and that's
yep.
that. And
sure.
I think that's where I left off. But if I were to give a round to Johnny, I don't have a problem giving round two to him. I don't. But I didn't.
Okay.
But if I were to give, you know, let's say,
yep,
let's make it more fair.
Sure.
Fine, I'll give him round two. Going into round three, I think Johnny started to fade a little bit. Maybe he got emotionally involved in round two. He started to fade. He slowed down quite a bit. And GSP kicked it up a notch. He started going more on the striking. He was more he was countering with over left hooks off of every jab or right left hand Johnny was throwing. So I think GSP really took a nice good pace, controlled like the whole cadence of that round.
Sure.
And then going to round four, like I said, hands down, you know, I gave it to Johnny. Whether it was a takedown or a trip or whatever, I give it to Johnny. You know, he stayed on top.
Yep.
He dominated pretty good. GSP, you know, you could tell he needed to catch his third win. And round five, so if I were to give two to Johnny, then we're going in dead even, 2-2, right?
Okay.
Going in round five. If anyone thinks that Johnny won round five, they're insane, because round five, there is no way Johnny won that round.
No,
it's impossible.
That was the problem with the fight. Johnny not finishing the fight after what he did in
fighting
round four.
Fighting at 70% or whatever the hell he's talking about.
Yeah,
you know, so.
That was clearly his mistake. Ken, what did you watched it once. Who did you score it for?
I initially scored it 4-1, and I thought at the end that,
for Hendricks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
I pretty much that first round, I just felt like that's the round that ended.
So you gave
the fight.
Johnny in round three then?
I gave Johnny round three. I thought I didn't
really
think George did that. I didn't think George did enough to win the round there at that point. I get where you were coming from.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the fight, and this is my first casual walkthrough. If you want to make an argument after I rewatch it, I'll take that argument. I just think in this fight, you've got a guy who's landing hard and who's landing big and who's doing damage. And I'm not talking about the cuts on the face, although that's a visible sign.
Sure.
This is a guy who's clearly knocking the other guy around to the point where we go back to what we saw with, what was it, Junior Dos Santos, who didn't remember part of his fight?
Yeah.
When he's talking about it in the after show and the interviews later. We had George St. Pierre the same way, and I know we're going to get more into that later with talking about Dana and the fighters and whether or not there's a rematch. I think in this situation, what we saw in the fifth round, I don't blame Johnny either. 70% in the fight. He's never been in a five-round fight. He's in against a guy who's only done five rounds.
And I understand you're conserving, but in round five, if you were saving your energy, why didn't you use it in round five?
You know what I think happens in round five, and we're seeing it a lot more, and I'd be very interested to see some of these fights where guys think they've got the fight, and then what their opponent's able to do. They're not really able to do damage. They're not really able to take it to the guy or fight him. What they're able to do is just kind of slough on him. And I say that, and it sounds a little degrading, especially this doesn't mean I don't respect George St. Pierre, but he's a guy who's been able to kind of wrestle and just mangle you and just kind of hold on and just grind you better than anybody else in the world up to this point. And I think in the fifth round, he just implemented that game plan. So he just kind of grinds him because he's got no choice. He's got to try to get a sub. He thinks he's got to try to get a knockout. And when you have a guy at that talent level doing that to you for a round, you're probably going to lose the round. Now, if he does that in the first or second round, I think Johnny Hendricks adjusts and does something different. Should he have done that in the fifth round? Probably.
Right.
But if GSP does that in the first or second round, I don't think GSP does that for five rounds. Does that make any sense?
It's sure.
Like George knows he has to hang on
so
at that
basically
point.
So you're saying like you could tell that the experience that GSP has doing a lot of five-rounders
You really
paid
don't
off.
Have any guy in the world at that point when George is in that corner who maybe can win that round without knocking him out or subbing him. And George is a king at this point at not having that happen to him. That's why he's been such a great champion for so long.
Okay, so when we go to fight metrics, so you've heard all three of us what we picked. If you look at fight metrics, in round one, St. Pierre had more significant strikes.
Okay.
Then Hendricks had more total strikes. Bear in mind, these two statistics are one punch off a piece. So 18-19, Hendricks loses in significant strikes. 27-26, Hendricks wins total strikes.
Okay.
Head kicks, Hendricks wins 9-5.
Hendricks wins in head kicks?
Head strikes, I should say.
Okay, he never threw one head kick.
hitting the head, 9-5. Body blows, GSP wins 16-4. Leg kicks to the leg, Hendricks wins 14-5. So this whole round, statistically speaking, comes down to strikes to the head, with which Hendricks wins by 4 strikes.
Okay.
Now, bear in mind, the stats I'm going to read for you do not account for takedowns. Do they? They don't account for damage or octagon control.
This or is just, sub attempts.
This is just right. numbers. Right. So in there, I guess you would give a nod to Hendricks if you're going to do that. Speaking merely of these strikes. Round two, Hendricks wins every category except for shots to the body, which he loses 2 shots to the body versus GSP's 4.
Okay.
Round three, GSP wins every category except for head and body, which they tie.
Okay.
Round four, Hendricks wins every category.
Sure.
Round five, it's again pretty much even split. Significant strikes, Pierre wins. Total strikes and head strikes, Hendricks wins. Body strikes, GSP wins. And legs, Hendricks wins 5-0. So according to Fight Metrics, Hendricks would have won 5, 4, 2, and 1. So it would have been 4 rounds to 1 if you're going to go by Fight Metrics.
Okay. But like you said, they don't count the takedowns. They don't do sub attempts.
Another way to look at the fight.
It is one way of looking at a fight.
Well, and that's like what I said in the moment when you were surprised about 3. When you're kind of in the fight, you kind of think that way. I don't have a problem you judging it a different way.
Right. But just like, okay, so I was talking to GSP's ex-manager. He's a good friend of mine. And he and I were arguing about round 1.
Not the one that's suing
it. I was going to be the one that scored like three quarter million dollars because I want to talk to him too.
It's the guy who's actually representing Kevin Lee now. He and I were going. He was like, he even said, I gave 10-8 in the first round to Johnny. I was like, what are you talking about?
10-8?
Like, what did you smoke when you're in Vegas, man? I know you're from Montreal, but that's not, that you can't do that. There's no way. There was no 10-8 round ever in that fight.
Four?
You gave a 10-8 to someone.
I didn't, because nobody's using it properly. If everybody's using it properly,
I think
I can go with Eric's 10-10, and then I can go with a 10-8 in that round.
That's the problem, you know.
I can go 10-8 on that 5th round because I thought he dominated Johnny in the 5th.
Oh, he didn't do it? Okay.
So, and that's the problem, and we'll talk about this here in segment 2, is that this is the clearest case of this system not working properly.
It's not working properly,
because
100%.
Because you can't. It can't be 10-9, 10-9, and those 2 rounds look totally different.
Yeah.
And so what I like about 10-10 in round 1, because it was that close, is that then it makes more sense that round 2 is a 10-9 for somebody as opposed to a 10-10.
Or maybe 4 is a 10-8.
And somewhere along the line, you'd have a 10-8. And in some of these rounds, in some of these fights you saw on Saturday night, you should have perhaps maybe a 10-7. We'll talk about all of that craziness next. It is Way of the Warrior, part of the Fight Fans Radio Network on iHeartRadio, available on Stitcher, iTunes, and Facebook. At Wow Show, it's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay, Joe is producing today. You can catch everything on Facebook, on Stitcher, on iTunes, and the Fight Fans Radio Network, as well as iHeartRadio. You can get the app on your phone and listen to us anywhere that you go, so you can hear us talk about the controversy still surrounding George St. Pierre and Johnny Hendricks. Even in the last 20 minutes, we were not really able to come to some sort of consensus of who won the fight, but as luck would have it, that's not really the story, actually.
Well, real quick, before we go, who do you think won that fight, Sean?
Are you seriously, after all that we just talked about?
I just want, just to reset.
Who did you pick?
GSP.
You got GSP, and you picked Hendricks.
I got Johnny, obviously.
And I picked a draw.
I put GSP, you know,
glad
by
we're all
one.
In on this one.
So, after the fight, he's in the middle of the ring. George is being interviewed by Joe Rogan, and Joe puts the mic in his face, and it looks like he pauses for a second as if maybe I shouldn't do this.
Joe's good at that. He's like, come on.
Joe eggs him on, and he sort of pseudo-retires from the ring. And immediately after, Dana White goes, you're not retiring. Nobody's retiring. There's a rematch. You owe it to us. You owe it to the fans, and you owe it to Johnny Hendricks. Johnny Hendricks' manager comes out and says a true champion wouldn't walk away like that. All of these things happen. In the next segment, we're going to talk to an MMA insider you may follow on Twitter, and if you don't, you should. His name is Front Row Brian. He gets a lot of these stories way before we do, and he's got a very interesting take on the way that we, being the MMA media, maybe mishandled that and let Dana off the hook. You know,
I'm not letting Dan off the hook. He was way out of line, in my opinion.
Really?
Well, out of line.
Well, here is something from...
Way out of line.
You know, and you would think, and we'll talk a little bit about this with Front Row Brian, but you would think in the cold light of day, 3 days later, it would be a different story. But here's something from Wednesday night. This is from Wednesday night, guys.
George St. Pierre did not retire on Saturday night. George St. Pierre, you know, he himself is unhappy with the way he handled that at the end of the day. First of all, leading up to the week, people were hearing rumors, people being the media, were hearing rumors of retirement. And I literally asked George, so what's up? Are you talking about retiring this Saturday? He said, no way, I'm not retiring. That's not happening, da-da-da-da-da. You'll see what I'm going to say on Saturday. And then he comes out, and nobody really understood what he said on Saturday. He is not retiring. And then when I said, you know, and now people are going crazy, going, you can't tell, Dana doesn't even care about him. And first of all, I'm the guy that talks about George St. Pierre all the time, talks about what an amazing champion he's been, what an amazing human being he is, how he's represented the sport, the title, the brand, his country, and the list goes on and on. But he made a big mistake Saturday night when he went up there and said what he said. Shouldn't have said it. It didn't make sense, and it left everybody wondering what was going on.
And so what is going on, Sean? You think that what Dana did is not correct?
It's not correct. I feel like he was just a little bit out of line. Listen, I'm not saying George doesn't have the right to say whatever he wants to say, but when I saw that press conference and the way he was just kind of like attacking, you know, I've never heard ever where a champion – who defends his belt.
Pause before you finish that sentence. The champion that defends his belt, that's the number one pay-per-view draw in the company. Go ahead.
Right, right. All the credentials you can think of. You know, records.
Sure, yeah. Okay.
And then to sit there and have a promoter say, you have to do the rematch. It's like, why? I didn't lose. I don't have to give a rematch to anybody. You know what I mean?
And not only that, we posted this on Twitter, and I believe it made it to Facebook, but still some people have not seen this stat because it went by very quickly. So I will give it to you. In the 22-fight history of George St. Pierre and the UFC, he has been hit 876 times in totality.
Right.
53% of those strikes to the dome happened in the last three fights.
Right.
You know, so you're dealing with somebody who is slowing down at a tremendous rate. You know, this is not the George St. Pierre that got his belt back from Matt Serra. This is not the George St. Pierre that fought Thiago Alves. This is not the George St. Pierre that subbed Matt Hughes. That's not the guy you're seeing. And for all the jokes, and we were piling on, and we have been for the last couple years, with how he doesn't finish fights and he's very strategic, he clearly knows his body better than anyone else. And you saw that on Saturday night. He was frightened at what just happened to him.
In that interview with Joe immediately after the fight, man, listen, I've had some serious, crazy sparring matches where after it, you know, I'm talking to whoever, a coach, or what, and I'm, like, emotionally involved, like, because I just, you know, we just had, like,
sure,
it felt like I was in a title fight or something, where I'm just like, oh, my God. You almost feel like you're about to cry, or you're just happy, or you don't know what. You're just not thinking clearly.
Emotionally, you're overwhelmed.
Yeah, you're so overwhelmed. I couldn't even imagine being on that platform where the whole world is watching, millions of people, and you're sitting there speaking a language that's not your native tongue, and you're stuttering, not stuttering, but you're pausing. And,
yeah.
Dude, honestly, I don't hold whatever he said in the cage, I don't hold it against him, because I'm more than positive that it was very hard for him to speak and think clearly.
This is not a problem, what Dana said. This is what's been going on the entire time these guys negotiate. You have guys who go in the cage after a fight and negotiate. You have guys in the cage that after a fight say things to get other fights done. This is the back and forth that happens. Dana Wright, Freudian slip, he's right a week later. Those problems weren't so big that GSP had. Now he's just taking a vacation. Now he's going to do the rematch. How can we moan about what Dana White said when he ended up being right a week later? This is a situation.
It was a very bad display of character attacking your champion.
I know a lot of people feel like it was attacking, but what he was responding to was George St. Pierre in an emotional moment, in a time right after a title fight, who said, I might be taking a break. Guy's only fought twice. Dana held that spot for him a long time.
Sure.
And he just saw a guy, and Dana believes that he just saw the worst decision he's seen, and I think a lot of us would agree with him, and we think that things in Vegas need to change. He's talking about pulling out of Vegas.
Which he's not going to do.
He's talking about these things.
But he's not going to do them.
But again, he's negotiating in public.
Well,
there.
Then there's your example. If Dana White can say, I'm never going to do a fight in Vegas, and he will, but why can't George say, hey, I'd like to take a break, but I won't?
He's right. No, George St. Pierre... owes the UFC at this point if he wants to continue fighting. Now, if
I think what he should do, he should do the Mayweather, totally retire, come back, do one three-rounder of fight, which he won't. He would just get a title match right away. Retire 100%, come back, and whoop someone's butt again.
Is he right? Sure. But he's right in hindsight. And while I think we really like to revel in the insanity that is Dana White as the president of this organization and the crazy stuff that comes out of his head that may or may not be true and is said off the cuff, I still think that given George St. Pierre's status in the company, the proper way to handle that on Saturday night is I would like to sit down and talk to George privately, and we will figure this out. It would be a shame to see him walk away from the sport, but he's done enough that he doesn't have to do that. I don't necessarily believe that a break is something we're going to support, so if you want to leave, you may leave, but I would like to spend some time and talk with him and see what this is. Because let's say, yes, Friday, we're right. Dana's right. None of this stuff was a big deal. But let's say his dad was dying. Let's say he did get a girl pregnant. Let's say he is going crazy because
he finally finished a fight. Then huh?
You know, you've been waiting 20 minutes for that one. You know, let's say any of
those.
You
didn't let me go to the judges.
You know, any of those are true. How does that make Dana look good if he's wrong?
I don't think in any situation Dana would make GSP come back for a fight if any of those things were happening. But I think the night of, I think he knows his fighters. I think he knows the situation and the history better than we do about the fighters. I think he realizes, and he's done some of this with GSP, where the managers have said, I don't want this fight. I don't want to do this fight. The reason the super fight never happened with him and John Jones is a lot of the politics that he played with his managers. George St. Pierre, smart guy. None of this, by the way, means that I don't like or people that have this position don't like or respect George St. Pierre. But if the guy's going to continue fighting, he needs to come back fighting. If he's got a doctor that says, you know, you can't fight, you've taken too much damage, there's no way in the world that Dana White is going to make him come in that cage. But what essentially Dana White's saying in that moment, at that point, is you do owe it to this kid. You owe it to this kid, and he's pointing at Johnny Hendricks, to come back and give him a rematch. And I think if you're a champion and you feel like you want to defend your belt and defend your honor and you want to continue fighting, again, I think that's that caveat that a lot of people missed, like they thought George was retiring. Guy doesn't get to go on a 2-year vacation and keep the belt.
Unless
he's already dealt with Dominic Cruz on that.
Unless you're Dominic Cruz, then it's okay, right?
And I think he's learned his lesson. He's not going to do that again.
Yeah, I agree.
And look, I think that was probably some of the venom that we saw that night, too. He's like, I am not dealing with another champion that's going to be gone for a year or two.
Sure.
I'm not dealing with a guy who's been out that I've basically given every caveat to and given him every opportunity to do what he wants to do. I think you heard a lot of that. Could he have handled it better? Certainly, Eric.
Yes.
He could have handled it better. But I don't have any problem with what he said. People are overreacting online saying, oh, here's a guy. Again, he took a lot of punches. He's a fighter. He's going to take punches. Sometimes they're going to be out of it after fights a little bit. They're in a 100 times better position than I think most NFL players, those UFC guys. So I don't in 100 years think that Dana White's going to say, I don't care what your health condition is,
right,
you're going to fight. That's not what he said that night,
no,
but that's what a lot of people heard.
Yeah, look, the facts and his intentions, I do agree with Dana White. It was just the delivery. I thought the delivery was way off, that's all.
But there's a lot of people that aren't saying that. What they're saying is Dana's being callous.
Right,
they're saying Dana doesn't care about the health of his fighters.
All he cares about is money and da-da-da-da.
That's not what any of this is.
Sure.
I think he would put the fight on for free if he could see Johnny and George St. Pierre do it again. I don't think any of that is involved, and I think that's what people are hearing. And that you see Deadspin columns, you see CBS Sports columns. That's what we're talking about right now. Those people are being idiots. I'm sorry. I'm going to call. You're being an idiot if you think Dana White's trying to put a fighter in harm's way. What he's trying to do is make sure that a guy in his division who earns that and probably won that night gets a rematch when he should. And a guy doesn't get to stall and put off that rematch because the management team doesn't like it or he doesn't like it. You don't get to call your
right
own shot. You're the champion, but you're working for the UFC.
Yeah.
You don't get to call your own shot.
You're an employee, dude. You're an employee.
Yeah, you're not going to go sit out.
Job calls you, says, hey, come to work, you got to go to work.
And I think that's why we saw the reaction we saw from Dana White. Again, in the light of day and later on, I think you're right, Eric. He could have handled it a little differently, but Dana White is Dana White, and that's why we heard the clip from him even later in the week. He's defiant. He's rightfully defiant. Whether or not you want to be mad or you want to be happy about him being right, he is right. He's right. George said he's not going to retire. George's personal problems, he's denied all the things that have been reported by TMZ and all the MMA media out there. We're going to see a rematch, and I bet you're going to see it within 6 to 8 months.
And we will we'll talk to Front Row Brian. He's got some insight into when exactly he thinks that that might show up. And Ken, you might be right. Couple other major things that happen at UFC 167 that have nothing to do with George St. Pierre, Johnny Hendricks.
How do we get this far in the show without talking about Chael Sonnen when Chael Sonnen's on the card?
Right, I know. Well, you got that far
he lost because decisively.
Yeah, I mean,
didn't even feel like that fight happened. Does it?
No.
The only fights I remember are Robbie Lawler's and George's. That's all.
Like the best fight in the world for Chael to lose, because we just all want to see him fight Vanderlei at this point.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and you kind of
nice little paycheck.
Look, he's got an issue at 205. He said that he has an issue. Certainly,
you can see it in his body.
And he's got an issue in that position where he clearly has no idea what to do when he gets in that position.
Yeah. Stop sitting down.
Right.
Stop sitting down.
Stop sitting down. Become friends with Henner Gracie, and maybe you could fix that situation. But for me, and I said this the night of, I will say this again today. If Chael Sonnen is Employee of the Year, Robbie Lawler is the most interesting story in the UFC in the last three.
What did I say when we were doing the picks, man? I was like, dude, Robbie's a beast, man. That guy's got a killer instinct.
Not only does he have a killer instinct, not only did he win this fight, he seriously derailed all of this Rory talk. Because there was a long time we were talking about, this is a guy who's going to beat George St. Pierre and John Jones all at the same time, and he's the greatest, blah, 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 blah. And, well, it was Robbie who just went, what if happens if you just run at him and don't really care what he does.
Well, you know, like Joe Rogan is like the biggest Rory advocate. I mean, he just like won't stop talking about Rory. During the fight when Robbie Lawler was landing good stuff, he was still just talking about the perfection of Rory McDonald. And I'm just like, dude, relax, dude. We're watching a fight. Be quiet for a second.
Rory's luring him in.
Yeah, this is and then here it comes, man. You hit Rory one time heavy and hard. You get that kid to back up, he doesn't know what to do.
Just in case you're wondering about that fight, too, that was Eric O'Brien's fault, because as soon as you asked me and started talking to me about the fact that Dana said that they will have to fight each other, that guaranteed that Rory's never going to win that fight get to GSP.
Well, right? I mean, the way he looked on Saturday night, he doesn't deserve to
be in
that
mix.
That's
why Dana was so mad. He didn't have a contender. And the kid, you better do that rematch.
And the kid, you know, I mean, I can understand, because, like, again, you know, you're overwhelmed or whatever, but when you leave the cage like that, you know, I think it's very disrespectful. You don't congratulate your fighter. I mean, I'm sure he shook his hand, but you know, you need to stay there. Let the ref raise.
I didn't even see the end. Of
He ran. He walked out.
He pulled the Forrest Griffin. Oh. Or whatever you want to, you know, he didn't run. He walked out.
He ran.
Did he run?
No.
Back to Canada.
Okay.
Ran back to
Canada. I mean, he had his, you know, tail between the legs, head down, whatever you want to say. But I mean, it's just like, come on, man. You know, and remember, I was saying he's just a kid. Literally, this boy is a kid. He needs to grow up and be a man, all right?
How old is he, 23, 24?
Whatever, dude. I've met guys that are 19 years old that have more man qualities than him. You know, he's got nothing but little kid syndrome, dude. I don't know if that even is a disease or
but
a condition.
You know, here's the thing is, like, you're falling into the problem with this discussion is we're spending all this time talking about Rory McDonald when really
I didn't fall into that.
You're still talking about him.
I wasn't on his train at all. I was talking about how he was going to get derailed.
And he got derailed.
Look, he had some decent wins, and that's the story out of this fight.
When I first heard the matchup, Robbie Lawler, I was like, dude, and especially Robbie Lawler's last fight, I was like, no. Roy's going to get served.
Well, and what makes this interesting is so you've got this, whatever this is, at the top of the food chain. Hendricks and GSP, when are they going to meet? Whatever, according to Ken, and we'll talk to Front Row Brian, it'll be before the end of 2014, right? So you've got this happening, and right below it, we've now kicked Rory out of that conversation, and you have, in my opinion, Woodley, Lombard, and Lawler in there where you're like,
And I know Damian Maia lost his last fight, but we still got to consider him.
Certainly,
he's still in the mix.
But
he's definitely got time now because we talked about it earlier on the show. I don't know how Damian's going to get back because you're going to have a guy
now
who wins
the
fight.
Now he has time, and you've got some really awesome fights.
Yeah, Woodley, dude.
You know, you got Woodley.
And you know how I feel about Koscheck. Oh! Right.
But there were some big wins at at 170 on Saturday night, which makes next year really, really interesting for that weight division.
Of course it does. I can't wait. Dead silence, but I can't wait.
We're excited. I just need everybody to calm down about Dana White.
We've calmed down.
Dude, I'm over here talking about Woodley's knockout, man. You didn't see that right hook?
No, it was a great fight. Yeah.
You saw it, right?
They are, however, not letting Koscheck go, so even despite three losses, he's going to stick around.
Yeah, so yeah, Koscheck sticks around and Rashad Evans wins.
Well,
no wonder you were so worked up by the time the night was over.
Yeah, I was pretty,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, we kind of blew by it, but that was a huge win for Rashad Evans.
He couldn't lose that fight.
You know, that's a marquee win to get that guy back on track and get Chael the hell out of 205.
So if Chael would have won that fight, you think he would have said, yeah, man, I would have been cool at 205, my body handles
it
well?
Probably, but the problem with him, and I had...
Is him and Vanderlei fighting at 205? Or?
Yeah, that's what... No, I think, no.
Are they going down to 185?
I think they're supposed to be at 185. It'll be interesting to see.
Joe will look it up here in a second.
So it's going to be that's why I find it interesting. Rashad can't lose this fight. I think Chael can lose like 17 more.
Dude, Chael
we
can
don't
do
even
whatever.
Care.
Well, what's interesting, awesome, though, is prior to Saturday night, his only three losses were two Anderson and one Jones, which are highly write-offable, if that's a word.
Well,
you know, you just go, he lost to all the champions.
And I know you hate him, Sean, but Rashad Evans, I mean, he's a former champion. He's got a pretty good record in his own right. He's lost to John Jones. Again, if you want to call it a write-offable loss. Lyoto Machida, I believe, he lost to he got postered in that fight.
what was the
other fight? Was it Lil Nog he lost recently?
Yeah, he lost
Rashad
to Nog, Evan.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are some pretty good fighters. Lil Nog is a little questionable there if you want to be a championship-caliber fighter in that division.
Right, no,
but
I get it.
Rashad Evans, a darn good fighter, and Chael's record still looks pretty good.
I'm not going to take anything away from Rashad that night. He looked spectacular against Chael Sonnen. When Chael mentioned how Dan Henderson couldn't even take down Rashad, I was like, ooh, that's going to be an issue for Chael, obviously, because Dan Henderson.
And it was.
Good. Yeah, it was, you know. And, you know, it's just, it is what it is. I'll give Rashad his credit when credit's due. Go for another run. But, you know, if that doesn't work out, I would really like to see, and I can't believe I'm actually saying this, I would like to see him give it an honest shot at the 185 before he walks away from the UFC.
Rashad?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that. I mean, I think
it would be kind of cool. It would be like if 205 doesn't work out and you still need, you need to change up your career and maybe give it one last, you know, go down to 85 and give that a shot.
Yeah, but is he at the – he might be past the point of no return on the weight. I mean, he's almost his mid-30s.
He looked good. I thought he looked all right.
He did
know.
Look good, but that's another
20 pounds.
I mean, that's a Christmas turkey, man.
I mean, we're not talking about Ultimate Fighter people that can't make weight.
It's 185 they're going to fight at for Vanderlei and Chael.
So okay, but that's a Brazilian 185,
It's a Brazilian 185, so it's loaded with TRT and all of that sort of thing. All right.
Yay!
When we come back, we'll talk to Front Row Brian, break down some more of GSP and Hendricks, and then get to all of the news left for the year or the day or whatever it is. I don't even know if it's not GSP.
Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior, it is your MMA show brought to you by Gun Lake Casino, available on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Fight Fans Radio Network. It is my honor. If you follow on Twitter, Front Row Brian is one of the accounts you must follow if you're an MMA fan. He is an insider of all insiders, and we are actually honored to be able to nail him down for a second to get him on to talk about this GSP stuff, because when I reached out to Brian, it was crazy on Sunday, and at this point it's gotten a lot crazier. Front Row Brian, welcome to the show, my friend.
Thanks for having me on, man.
So, you were one of the few that said this very early on. I've seen a bunch of articles. Jeff Wagenheim from Sports Illustrated did one. Luke Thomas did one. Josh Gross did one, talking about the MMA media and the way in which they handled the Dana White handling of GSP. But you were one of the first on Sunday to point out the fact that they probably wouldn't step up and do the right thing until there was some distance. What do you think that, first, let's talk about that. What do you think that relationship is, and what do you think it should be between the MMA media and Dana White versus what it is and what you saw on Sunday morning?
Well, the relationship has to be a very friendly one, or else you're not going to get those precious free cage side seats anymore. And if you challenge him too much, he's going to take them away. He's going to throw a fit, even if he's wrong. But that's what will end up happening. So I guess it got so bad that a few of them actually had to step up and try to act like the journalist they allege to be, when you have a promoter forcing a guy who's obviously having some mental health issues, but forcing him to fight when, I mean, if you watch the guy at the post-fight interview, I thought the guy was going to cry. You know, I felt sorry for him. I was like, you know, this is a guy who's struggling right now. He doesn't need another fight in 4 months. Let him take a year off. Johnny Hendricks will still be there. The fans will still be there. And they'll all be excited to see him come back.
And what if people may have missed it, I know that you were on top of this and a couple other people on Twitter. If you've missed this, I think the stat is George has been hit or kicked or punched somewhere around 900 times over the course of his career. Over 50% of that has come in the last three fights, which leads a lot of people like yourself and myself to be like, yeah, maybe we let him walk away for a little bit. Or as Joe Rogan said later on in the week, forever, because you don't need to take that much damage.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I wasn't aware of that statistic until just today. But, you know, he even said at the post-fight press conference, he mentioned about the trauma that he's suffering to his head. And that's something you really don't hear from fighters. You know, like, look at Chuck Liddell when he was getting knocked out all the time. You never really heard him admit that he was suffering this trauma and it was going to have adverse effects if he continued with it. You know, whereas George is up front saying, yeah, I'm suffering a lot of brain trauma, and I'm concerned about it.
And as he should be. And on Monday morning, of course, the MMA journalists leap on what is that thing that's going on in his life. TMZ jumps into the fray for some reason. I don't know why they do this, but they did said it was an unplanned pregnancy and that his father was ailing. Turns out neither one of those things are true. And by the time you and I are talking right now, GSP has turned a corner, wants Freddie Roach in his corner if he's going to fight again. And it looks like we're on a collision course for a rematch. And if George is not the guy who can get Dana White to understand what the relationship should be and that they're not a commodity or cattle, does any of the fighters on the roster below him have a shot?
No, absolutely nobody. This is the guy who's been the biggest draw. He was an even bigger draw than Brock Lesnar. He's made that company an incredible amount of money, and he's always done the right thing, always been the best company guy, the best example of what mainstream, you know, wants an MMA fighter to look like. And he asked after all this time for a little time off, and you know, he gets talked down to about how he owes Johnny Hendricks, he owes the fans, he owes the belt. I mean, you know, forget that. You know, he doesn't owe anybody anything. After he steps out of that octagon, you know, he put in his work, and if he doesn't want to do it anymore, then it's his life.
And what's interesting is when you look at kind of the scope of the UFC right now, you saw that Dominic Cruz been out for 2 years, and obviously that's not under his own volition, but he gets welcomed back. They never stripped him of the belt, and it's been 2 years, and he gets an immediate rematch, or an immediate match, I should say, to unify the belts. And I guess in this particular case, if you're worried about the health of your fighter, and that might be debatable at this point, but if you're worried about that health, you've already seen that the fans can be with somebody like a Dominic Cruz who you just put on Fox, and you certainly could put George on Fox if you wanted to keep him out there and keep him out of the cage, but still with the organization.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Dominic Cruz situation is pretty perplexing to me. I mean, I used to be of the opinion, you know, you don't lose your belt sitting on your couch. You lose your belt inside the ring or the cage. But this guy hasn't shown up for work in 2.5 years. I'm not sure too many UFC fans even remember the guy. So, you know, they're going to fight. Everybody knows Burrell is the world champion. But it's kind of interesting how, you know, George didn't even assign a number of months or even, say, a year of what he wanted off. Just said he wanted to take a little time off. And then he gets talked down to, you know, like he's the janitor at the Zuffa headquarters. I thought it was really inappropriate. I felt for the guy.
And here we are, Brian, and you can find Brian on Twitter, Front Row Brian, a couple days later, and that story, like I said, hasn't really changed. And you expect some of the hyperbole and the off-the-cuff comments that Dana White makes to be just that, and then in the cold, harsh light of Monday or Tuesday, they kind of clean themselves up. But this case, it certainly hasn't done that. In fact, if anything, like I said, we've got George looking for new cornermen and Freddie Roach, or saying, I'm not going to do this unless you're in my corner. And Hendricks being like, yeah, we're rematch time. Everybody's excited. And almost as if the UFC as an organization seems to think that Sunday morning didn't actually happen and that we saw something different than they're claiming we did.
Yeah, well, it's the second time this year they forced somebody into a rematch. Anderson Silva wants to fight Chris Weidman as much as I do, because he's going to destroy both of us. Anderson Silva doesn't want to fight Chris Weidman on December 28th in Las Vegas. Uncle Dana got on a jet to L.A. and told him to say that he wanted a rematch.
And so let me, you're an insider. I would never ask you for your sources. That would be ridiculous. But I do want your insight. Why do you think that that was necessary? I mean, Weidman knocked him out and put the period on the sentence, so to speak, in a way that Hendricks didn't. So to me, those are two different fights. And one that if you're Anderson Silva and you get knocked out in that way, which, albeit silly, you did get knocked out. If you disappeared, you disappeared. I mean, does he really, much like George St. Pierre, have to defend his legacy at this point?
I don't think so. His legacy was intact when he beat Chael at UFC 148. And I think he feels that way, too. And defending the belt became something secondary. And being Anderson Silva became the primary thing. He can make money just being Anderson Silva. He doesn't need to perform anymore. He can walk away. And it seems like he's getting pressured into it. Because, look, he didn't even want to fight Weidman the first time.
Right, right. He had to be talked into it.
Yeah, he wanted to fight Rich Franklin the third time, and it's just Anderson being the epic troll that he is.
Front Row Brian is joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Front Row Brian. How do you think this is all going to play out? Is George going to get 4 months, or is this going to be? We're going to see this in March, do you think, or what is your gut reaction to what's been going on this week?
I'm thinking he's going to get in, and either going to fight Memorial Day weekend in Vegas or July 4th in Vegas. And you could also see on that July 4th card, Chael Sonnen versus Wanderlei Silva. And it'll be one of the biggest pay-per-views in the history of the company.
Front Row Brian here talking about the George St. Pierre situation. And one of the things, I'll shift gears a little bit, that I always find ponderous about George is when you hear things about the pregnancy rumors, how the homophobia in MMA rears its ugly head. I mean, when we put it on our Facebook page, every joke was about Rory McDonald or Patrick Cote or whatever. What do you think it is about George that sort of thing follows him around in a way that is also ridiculously unfair for somebody of his level?
I don't really know. People like to joke and stuff. I it's just that. I don't think anybody actually dislikes the guy. They might, his fighting style, he fights, or pretty safe, I mean, to put it mildly. So, and he hasn't finished anybody in a while. So he's kind of drawn the ire of people that want to see, the old George St. Pierre, the one that finishes people, the one prior to Matt Serra. So I think he gets some heat for that, and Rory gets heat just because he's weird. I mean, come on. I mean, this guy is if they pointed to the guy, they said, "Hey, Brian, that's a serial killer," I'd say, you know what? That looks like a serial killer.
Right, right, yeah. He's got that American Psycho thing going on much more than Stephen Bonner ever did.
Yeah.
Front Row Brian is joining us. You can follow him on Twitter. He is in transit, so we will let him bounce. But follow him on Twitter, at Front Row Brian. I'm telling you, the inside information that this man has is well worth your time and makes watching MMA very, very interesting. So, Front Row Brian, thank you so much for joining us, and have a wonderful trip. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for having me, man. Take care.
And when we come back, we will break down what is left of MMA news and get you all caught up as we gear up for the Ultimate Fighter finale coming up next week. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
Bring them, bring them, bring them, bring them, bring them, bring them out.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans, Sean Dizay covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. A couple things really quickly before we get out for this weekend. Remember, you can follow along with the show as always on Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, Facebook, and Twitter by searching WOW Show. First, we talked a little bit about what is next for Rashad Evans, and it looks like very shortly, and maybe even as you're hearing this right now, they will ink a deal between Rashad Evans and Daniel Cormier, which would be a very, very interesting fight happening at 205. Also, they just announced for UFC on Fox 10 that will take place in Chicago, Gabe Gonzaga and Stipe Miocic will be fighting, which will be a great, great fight. And lastly, before we're out for the rest of the weekend, John Jones. It looks like he will not be ready for action with that lingering foot injury till at least April. So if you're looking for him to get past Glover Teixeira and a rematch with Gustafson, if that all goes according to plan, that is going to be a little bit down the road, maybe even fall of 2014. But as announced this week, you will have plenty of MMA In the meantime, 2014 will sport 54 individual events with the UFC in 2014. That is a lot of MMA, and what will be very interesting is to see how the coverage either increases or decreases, because a lot of these MMA sites, ours included, are self-sufficient in a way that doesn't allow them to travel to 54 individual events. So we will see what the MMA coverage looks like in 2014 and what effect that might have on the sport. If you need anything, on Twitter and Facebook, search WOW Show. It is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.